Morning and welcome on the day of Pentecost. Few announcements. The Conrad reunion has been canceled. Any questions, you can call Amy Horn. Per the Senate Council, the regathering has been pushed back. We don't have a firm date at this time. I will be sending out the information on Google Groups today, and it will be posted on the Holly Grove Lutheran Church Facebook. I highly suggest that you all review it. Next week, we will not have a Facebook Live here at Holly Grove Church. It will be the Holy Trinity Sunday, and the North Carolina Synod suggests that all congregations use the pre-recorded sermon provided by the ELCA presiding Bishop Eaton. I will send the link out on Google Groups Sunday morning, and it will also be available on the Holly Grove Lutheran Church Facebook page. Let everyone know that all the supplies have been ordered that I think we need for the regathering, the reopening of the church. Council meeting will be Monday, June the 8th at 7 p.m. and it will be held at the church office. Miss Kim, prayer shawls.
So I have several prayer shawls today. The first one is for Tucker. He is the son of Sydney and Patrick Ayala, grandson of Anissa and Kevin, and great-grandson of Robin and Karen Beck. So, Gavin, will you come and just put those on the table, please? And this one is for Emilia Brinkle, the daughter of Leanne and Chad, the granddaughter of Rex and Tracy, and the great-granddaughter of Dwight Everhart. These two are for the, they're not here yet, but these are for the twins of Randy and Robbie Hilleman. They are going to be named Weston and Waylon, and they are the sons of Randy and Robbie and the grandson of Latifa and Lynn Dennis. And this last one is for a little baby that she's not born yet, but it's the niece of Tim Hilton. And her name is going to be Zoe Jean. And then I'd also like to recognize Gavin and Gracie for planting those tomato plants and selling them and raising money for the backpack program. They raised $250. So thank y'all so much. That's really awesome.
Birthdays and anniversaries. Are sorrowful, raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Want to keep the family of Dwight Everhart in our prayers. Dwight has had a couple bad days. Pastor Talent, have you talked to the family? Do you have any?
The last time I talked to them, he was not terrible, but not great.
So keep the Dwight Everhart and his family in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of the Spirit, that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the children to come up. How are you today? What's this? That's what it looks like, but today it's something different. Because today I didn't have a mirror I thought I had in my desk. So today this is a mirror. We'll just pretend, okay? But what happens when you breathe on a mirror? Breathe on it. Right, it fogs up, right? It'll give you a different place to breathe. And you can mark in it, right? You can mark stuff when it fogs up. Breath is a really important part of our life. Why is that? That's right. If you're not breathing, you're not alive. So it's very important that we breathe. And it is fun, or at least I always thought it was fun, to draw in my breath. When my dad used to drive us in the winter, I would sit there in the back of the car blowing on the window and drawing stuff, and we drove fast people. Not that other people ever do that, but I used to really enjoy doing that. And sometimes, have you ever left a message for somebody on the bathroom mirror? Like when the bathroom mirror fogs up and you write something on there for somebody? Well, I've done that before. Be sure it's a nice message when you do it. But the thing about breath is we need it to live. We know it's real because you can feel it when you blow out, right? You can see it when you blow it on a shiny surface. You can, even the fog that it creates allows you to write stuff, which is kind of like fog it creates on there. Today we talk about breath, and we're talking about God's breath and the importance of God's breath for all of creation. When we read the lessons, what we see is that it's God's breath that gives life. If you remember way back the story of Genesis and Adam and Eve, it said God formed Adam and breathed into him. So his breath is what gave life to Adam and Eve and to all the creatures that God made. Depend on breath. And the psalm we're going to read today talks about the importance of breath, and that God gives breath and that gives life, and God takes breath away, and that's what happens when we die, is that our breath no longer works, no longer part of us. And God then is the giver of life, and he also is with us even when we die, and the breath goes back to God. But the thing about it is that that breath goes out and brings life to other creatures and to other people. As long as God's breath works in the world, life comes and is created. And Jesus talks about a special kind of breathing, and that is, there's a word that's used for breath in the Bible, and that word can mean breath, like when we breathe, but it can also mean spirit. And Jesus uses that word to talk about the Holy Spirit. And he tells his disciples that when he goes away, he's going to leave the Holy Spirit with them. And the Holy Spirit will come into their lives like breath comes into our lives. And that the Holy Spirit will be with us. And the Holy Spirit will help us and guide us and lead us as we seek to follow Jesus. And as we try to tell others about Jesus, not only with our words, but with how we live our life and what we do. So the next time you see a mirror or a CD with the back, remember God's breath, and remember that that breath is a sign of God's love, both the breath that we breathe that gives us life, but also the breath that is the Holy Spirit that comes into us in our baptism when we become part of the Church of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the gift of breath. Help us to remember each time we breathe that you are the giver of life. And help us remember that your breath gives life to all creatures. We thank you also for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Use it to help us share your love. In Jesus' name. And all the people say, Amen. Thank you for coming up.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from the heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the gift gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deed of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things, both great, small and great. There go the ships, the Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up, and when you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. No one can say Jesus is love, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of the tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually members of the body. Though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our gospel lesson today from John 20 is regularly read on Pentecost. It's not the only reading you can have, but it is probably the one we are most familiar with. It has had a great influence on a lot of people. One of the people it influenced in his writing was C.S. Lewis. His most famous book, I guess, or at least the one I know best, is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And if you saw the movie of that that came out a few years ago, there is a scene that really reflects that passage from John. Aslan, after returning from the dead, goes around and breathes on all the creatures that have been turned to stone by the White Witch, bringing them back to life. Aslan is, of course, the Christ figure in that book by Lewis. It's a moving image, but you may forget, if you've seen only the movie and never read the book, the beautiful description of this act, this event in Lewis's book. This is from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it says this: "I expect you've seen someone put a lighted match in a bit of newspaper which is propped up in a grate against an unlit fire. And for a second, nothing seems to have happened, and then you notice a tiny streak of flame creeping along the edge of the newspaper. It was like that now. For a second, after Aslan had breathed upon him, the stone lion looked just the same. Then a tiny streak of gold began to run along his white marble back. Then it spread. The color seemed to lick all over him as the flame licks all over a bit of paper. Then, while his hindquarters were still obviously stone, the lion shook his mane and all the heavy stony folds rippled into living hair. Then he opened a great red mouth, warm and living, and gave a prodigious yawn. And now his hind legs had come to life. He lifted one of them to scratch himself. Then, having caught sight of Aslan, he went bounding after him and frisking round him, whimpering with delight, and jumping up to lick his face. It is that image which really reflects Christ's breathing on the disciples. Behold, I make all things new. Christ created new life in the midst of life, coming out of death. I wanted us today to really look at Psalm 104. I think that's a beautiful psalm. It is one of the creation psalms. There are several of those throughout the book of Psalms. It's the longest one. In there we read various images that relate to Pentecost. In the third and fourth verse we read about fire and flame as God's ministers and the wings of wind that God rides upon. In verse 15, God makes wine and oil to gladden the heart and to make the face shine. In Psalm 104, the world that God creates and recreates is not just well-ordered, but it is almost musical in that psalm. It is as if the whole creation is a song of joy. It helps us, I think, to see more deeply the significance of the text we have for today in the last section of the psalm. This psalm really begins with a hymn of praise to God, clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light. And it talks about the wonders of creation. In the following verses, it describes various aspects of what we read in Genesis, from springs gushing forth into valleys to provide water for wild animals, trees and vegetation that grow and supply food for the animals and for human beings, all sorts of kinds of trees to provide homes for the birds of the air, mountains that provide homes for various animals, including the mountain goats, and birds that sing among the branches in the next to streams of water. All of these things are related to one another. All of these reflect God's creation, and it's this psalm that becomes a kind of hymn to God and a hymn to creation. They're not only made to survive, but to enjoy life. Joy itself is a central part of this psalm and of God's creation. The world is made for joy. The joy it gives to God and the joy it gives to His creation. God rejoices, it says in verse 31, and creatures return the joy not only by rejoicing in God, but by delighting in the things God made. This understanding of joy is a central part of this text. It's revealed especially in the mention of Leviathan. Now, if you're familiar with other parts of the Old Testament, you know that Leviathan is often portrayed as a dangerous creature, a threatening creature. Some places they interpret it as probably being used to describe a crocodile. In other places, a giant fish in the ocean. But the striking thing about this mention of Leviathan, which in the world of the people was oftentimes seen as a danger or a threat, is that it says it was created for sport, or another way of saying it is that God plays with this creature. This giant creature that people are afraid of is like a little pet to God that He plays with. This image, which goes on to talk about all the innumerable creatures of the sea, show us over and over how God loves all of His creation and that it's all tied together. So even though in Psalm 74, and if you look at Job, you see this idea that a Leviathan is a monster of chaos or even evil, in this passage, it's like a pet to God. An animal which God loves, which God takes delight in, which God even plays with. The wonder of God's creation is beyond our imagining and beyond our understanding. God takes great joy in all of His creation, even things that we fear, like this beast of the sea, and that joy triumphs over chaos and fear. The psalm goes on to say that creatures, when they thrive, are filled with good things. If God's face turns away from creation, we read, the creatures are dismayed. God's presence and attentiveness are necessary for life. The taking away of divine breath, of spirit, results in death, but the sending forth of that spirit and that breath results in new life being created. The God whose look causes the earth to tremble or the mountains to smoke, who sees sin and evil as offending the harmony of creation, is most clearly revealed, not in acts of might, but in acts of joy and love. Joy is the basis for the earth. Whether we think of the morning dew on a brisk morning or a playful dog when its master comes back home. We're sitting out at night and listening to the crickets and the frogs. There's a joy in the interdependence of creatures and creation. There is this joy always present in the midst of all the suffering and the disasters around us. God's joy is still there. But there is a portion of the psalm that's usually left out in church readings, and that's the first part of verse 35. And it's in that verse which reflects other aspects of psalms and scripture, that the goodness and wonder of creation are rejected by some, which this passage calls the wicked and sinners. A lot of congregations, a lot of churches don't like to read that part of God's rejecting sinners and wicked people and wicked things. But the truth is that those things go against God's creation. We tend to read those words, and perhaps the psalmist saw those words as that God would simply destroy those. But God had another plan to deal with sin, with wickedness. And that plan involved the coming of Christ. And in Christ, we have the opportunity to overcome sin and to receive forgiveness for our brokenness. Now, the psalmist would write, "Let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more." Christ says, "You are forgiven if you repent." God's will is not to destroy those things he creates, but rather to redeem those things he creates and return them to his ideal kingdom. God did deal decisively with sin in Christ, not by killing all the sinners, but by redeeming them. What a reason for joy and celebration. And that psalm ends and celebrates God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. The entire world worships and celebrates. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is on the voice and lips of all of creation. Some people condemn Christianity for not being concerned enough about the environment. But Wendell Berry responds in his book, "The Bible is an outdoor book," he says. We might go a step further and say that the Bible's view of creation is as the setting for the jewel of redemption. In Psalm 104, the creatures know this. All look to God for food in season. God provides. When God hides God's face, their breath leaves and they die and return to the dust. But God's will is for all of creation, all of humanity, to be redeemed and restored. God created the world in wisdom. People sometimes lose sight of God's presence in the midst of all the things that come. If you've ever been to parts of the Northwest and maybe other parts of the country, you can pay someone who will take you out on the ocean to see the whales. And they'll take you very close to those whales. I was reading this week about a Cree Indian who was a professor at a theological school and talked about the fact that those Aboriginal peoples years ago would go out on little tiny boats to where those whales were to capture them for food bring them back as a way to feed their people. I don't think I would much really want to do that, going out in a canoe to try to take on a whale. But people did. It was their way they lived. The children of Israel, I think, were more like me. They weren't so big on the sea. Now, they were surrounded by people who loved the sea, the Phoenicians and the Greeks and others. But Israel mainly stayed on the land or went out in the Sea of Galilee, which was really a big lake. And even there, they sometimes talked about the fearfulness of it. So Leviathan for them was a bigger thing to fear. But this psalm tells us that even the Leviathan, which they feared, was created for God's pleasure and God's joy. On the day of Pentecost, the people gathered in a locked room in Jerusalem and witnessed an amazing appearance of Jesus. A noise, a violent wind, tongues of fire, things that could create fear. But in the midst of that, God appears in Christ and gives them yet more good news. Not only is Jesus resurrected from the dead, but he will leave with them the gift of his Spirit. And that Spirit, the same word for breath, is life. God's Spirit moved over the waters, it says in Genesis, and ended the chaos. He breathed life into dirt, and humans became living things. His breath creates life for all the creatures. Barbara Brown Taylor one time talked about seeing Desmond Tutu of South Africa perform a baptism. And in his way of doing baptism, he lifted the lid off the funeral font and breathed over the water. And he did that to remind people of God as creator. And that breath is how life comes to us, both life itself at our birth, when we must breathe in order to live, and life when the Holy Spirit comes to us in the waters of baptism and brings us into Christ's kingdom and into eternal life. And breath moving in the world is the way God works today. And we talk about the Holy Spirit gathering us and redeeming us and teaching us how to share God's love. Well, this idea of breath and new life is behind a Christian movement that began over a century ago called Pentecostalism. And their view of certain parts of Scripture may be different from ours, but this view of the Holy Spirit breathing life has been profound in the Christian community around the world. Pentecostals today number close to 1 billion people around the world, and this other branch of Christianity, along with Roman Catholic and Orthodox and the Protestant churches, has become a huge part of the Christian faith. And it hinges on the idea of the Holy Spirit breathing life into people and empowering them to share that life and the joy of God's creation. That professor I mentioned from School of Theology in Canada, also he himself is a Cree Indian, and he talks about the importance of fire for native peoples. And they oftentimes think about that in relation to God's Spirit sending quakes and flames to the mountains. And we frequently use fire as an image in our services. We light candles each time we gather to meet. Some churches burn incense. Others, the Orthodox in particular, have gold domes on many of their churches, and those domes are to symbolize fire. So the symbol of the coming of the Spirit is not only breath, but also fire. And that gift is a constant reminder every time we gather of the light of Christ, but also of the Holy Spirit's present among us. That Holy Spirit gift came to the disciples in flames of fire dancing on heads. And that Holy Spirit came into us at birth with that first breath we take. Ultimately, Pentecost is about deepening our relationship with God as God's people, and not only with people, but also all of God's creation. We are charged to be stewards of God's kingdom, and that Holy Spirit that comes to us calls us not only to be concerned about ourselves and about people, but about all of God's creation. And this psalm celebrates the wonder and joy of God's creation. And in this day and time when so many things in our lives seem disrupted, we need to remember that gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the breath of life, and the gift of God's joy that came in creation, that comes to us in waters of baptism, that comes to us when we gather to share the good news, to celebrate. That first Pentecost account in Acts, people thought the people were drunk because they were acting so odd. We, know that they were not. But there are still people today who doubt the Christian message and think that we simply tell stories, simple stories, silly stories. Yet Jesus promised that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And every day people hear the message of Christ and are changed. The miracle is not in our ability or in our words. And Paul tells us that we all have gifts, that we all in our diversity have the ability to share the good news with others, and that we are called individually to share that good news. It's not simply for people who are pastors or teachers, but for all of us in our daily life. We are empowered by the Spirit to share the good news. And there are days that I suspect it's challenging to remember that. I mentioned earlier Wendell Berry, who is a well-known Christian environmentalist. I wanted to share a poem, and I think of it in particular in relation to the world that we're experiencing right now with the pandemic and the danger of that, with the insanity of riots and violence that are supposedly protesting a violent act and yet have done far more damage and killed people just in the acts of protest. And sometimes I need to remember the peace of wild things, which is Berry's poem. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. No matter how crazy the world around us gets, God's world, God's creation, is a place for the peace of wild things and the joy of God's grace and love. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to God the Father through his dear Son for the church, the world, and for all people for whom we pray. Abba, Father, it is only for Jesus' sake and the power of the Holy Spirit that we may call you Father in trust and joy. Thank you for giving us the same Spirit and for the gifts of that Spirit, so we may bless and praise you and proclaim your love to those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy. Most holy God, pour out your Spirit upon the church. Kindle in it the flame of truth, holiness, faithfulness, and kindness. Make it steadfast in suffering, faithful in witness, generous in service, and ardent in worship. In all things, conform it to Christ our Savior, so that through your Spirit many people may be drawn to faith in him. Lord, in your mercy. We pray that your Spirit will renew the hearts, minds, worship, and life of this congregation, even in this time when we cannot gather together in community. Make us lovely and loving, joyful and kind, faithful and forgiving, generous and patient, humble and fearless. Make us truly look like Jesus and use us to draw others closer to Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Through your Spirit, you gave the apostles words to proclaim your saving truth to pilgrims from many nations. We pray for translators, editors, commentators, authors, narrators, for speech therapists, teachers, tutors, and theologians, and for all of us. Let us use words wisely and well. Give us a passion for speaking truth and love. By that same Spirit, discipline our tongues to refrain from words that hurt our neighbor, from telling convenient lies, and from speech that inflames dishonorable passions. Lord, in your mercy. Instruct the leaders of the nations in your ways. Give them the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of you, so that they and the people in their care may live in harmony and justice. We pray especially for our President Donald, our Governor Roy, and for all who make and minister and judge our laws. Teach all of us the things that make for peace and give us a spirit willing to do them. Lord, in your mercy. In this time of pandemic, strengthen and encourage those in public health services and in the medical profession, caregivers, nurses, attendants, doctors, and all who commit themselves to caring for the sick and their families. Inspire, give insight, wisdom, and hope to all researchers focused on developing a vaccine and improved treatments. Sustain all workers and business owners who suffer loss of livelihood due to shutdowns, quarantines, closed borders, violence, and other restrictions. Protect and guard all those who must travel. Lord, in your mercy. Clothe those in the military and all first responders with your whole armor of righteousness, faithfulness, and truth. Equip them principally with weapons of the Spirit, for our primary enemies are sin, evil, and death. Shield them with your mighty arm, return them in safety to their loved ones, and bring healing and hope to those who fall in the line of duty. Lord, in your mercy. Bring healing and hope also to everyone who has been afflicted by suffering, sorrow, sin, or grief, and who needs the healing balm of your life-giving Spirit. Especially we remember before you Clayton, Lauren, and Beau Trivett at the death of baby Jason Eugene. We remember all those in our congregation who are suffering illness or dealing with various difficulties and challenges. Especially lift to you Dwight Everhart in this time, and those whom we name now in our hearts or upon our lips. Your Spirit brings renewed life to all creation, and so we pray that you would grant that renewal to your servants and to all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for receiving our beloved dead into your arms. Thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of your dear Son, who has bestowed the Spirit of hope upon all who trust in him. Breathe that Spirit into our lives and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus until we also are gathered with all the saints into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, O God, for the sake of Jesus, our Redeemer, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, bring what is pleasing in your sight to completion in our lives. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile. Wisdom for life with you, for your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray as the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
And now let us repeat our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Save the Lord. Thanks be to God.